This is the Great Shalom Broadcast. This is Sharon Sarles wishing you a blessed morning. Today, we're going to talk about moving your children into the economy of blessing. We're going to tell you how to have some money, what to do, and how to teach your children what to do. Because money does matter, and it matters if you have children to feed. I learned that the hard way. Money matters, but good news is God would like you to have some and would like you to teach your children how to have some. So let's start right in with the Word of God. Let's go to Proverbs, the 13th chapter in the 22nd verse. This is eye opener number one this Saturday morning. Proverbs 13 and 22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Wow. Some of us didn't get that message very early on in life, that we were to leave a legacy to our children, but hallelujah, we've got that message now. God would like us to have enough prosperity to take care of our kids and to leave something to our kids. That's what I get from that part. And the second part is, works a whole lot better if you're righteous. Yes, indeed. So how do you think that that's going to happen, that you're going to have enough money to leave to your children, and that your children and your grandchildren are going to have enough prosperity? Do you think that's going to happen as a matter of course by itself? Well, it did perhaps in the past in this nation, but I doubt that's going to happen now. I think we're going to have to apply ourselves and use righteous principles. We don't expect all boats to rise now, but fortunately, God has told us the principles of how to live. So, right there in that verse, it talks about a good man and the righteous. And really, wealthy people in the past have known this. In the past, look at Rockefeller, for instance. The first thing he started teaching his children, as soon as they could read and write, they had to keep accounts and give an account to their father how they spent their allowance. God does want to bless us, but the first thing we have to do is teach our children godly character, and that shows up in how we handle money. Rich men have known this. And those people who try to get money by unrighteous means fail. I learned this, if I hadn't learned it already, from my parents and my pastors. I learned it once again in graduate sociology class in Deviance. One of my colleagues calculated what the best heist men make. Now, the best. Okay, the men who steal and steal big, and calculated how many years they had to lay low and what the probability was of going to prison, and added that all up and discovered that the very best heist men make less than $30,000 a year. And how many of you know that with good college education and putting money in the bank, you're going to do better than that? And that's just worldly news. God loves a fair balance, and God loves good business. And that, in fact, is prosperous. Okay, so that's eye-opener number one, that God would like us to leave a legacy, and that good business is good business. Eye-opener number two, I hope, is also familiar to you. Let's go to Matthew, the 6th chapter and the 33rd verse. Matthew, the 6th chapter and the 33rd verse. Once again, probably familiar, I hope so, but I think there's some eye-openers here. But seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself, and each day has trouble enough of its own. The part that I wish to emphasize is seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things, we're talking about practical things, things in the here and now, things that we need to raise our children, like bread and housing and clothing, all these things will be added unto us. So now, what does it mean to seek God's kingdom? Well, you know, we get super spiritual sometimes and interpret scripture by our own idea. But I think if we just look for a few other scriptures and compare scripture to scripture, we come out with a very sensible answer. Don't be slothful in business. Don't hang around bad companions. Let him who does not work not eat. These are all very familiar scriptures. And all of this has to do with doing things the way that God does them. Seeking God's kingdom is aligning yourself with how God does things. So truthfulness, righteousness, once again, good business is good business. And once again, even worldly businessmen know this. I know something about the business of a garage here in town. They fix cars. And where a lot of small garages have gone out of business in the past decades, this one has not. This one has grown. And why is that? Because they do a good business. The owner greets you when you walk in, and therefore they have a loyal clientele. He fixes your car, and they do it right, and they do it right the first time as much as is humanly possible. And other businesses that have fleets know about the good business that they do, and so they take their cars into this garage. And if maybe the florist or maybe the business that has fleets that go around to kitchens, whatever, they have vehicles that need fixing, they know where they can get a good deal, a righteous deal. And the garage knows over time who is going to pay them properly. Good business is good business, and they have good relationships. And this is the way any good and stable market will progress, based on truthfulness and on contracts being kept. This is the kingdom of God. This is how things are done. Now, what I've said so far, any natural person can understand. This is how it can be done. In fact, this is the only way that it will work. But there's more to that. What does God's kingdom entail? Righteousness? Sure. But how does God's kingdom work? It works, well, let's look over here. Maybe we can find that in Mark 4. What is the kingdom of God like? Well, Mark 4 and 26, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the ground. Or Matthew 13 and 24, the kingdom, once again, is like a man who sowed good seed. And if you look around in the fourth chapter of Mark, Jesus expects his disciples to get this anyway. If you can't understand this, how can you understand the rest? Well, because natural people understand if you sow a seed, you expect a harvest. That's just normal. Every day, anybody in Jesus' day would have known that. They would have seen gardens. You plant seed, you get a harvest. Well, of course, you prepare the ground. You pick the soil, you prepare the ground, you pick the seed that you want to grow, you plant it, you watch over it, you water it. You depend on God's grace and multiplication for sunshine and the warmth and the growth. And then at the right time, you harvest it. Any natural man can understand that. Except today, perhaps, because we don't look at the natural world, we look at the messed up social world, and we repeat to ourselves some messed up stories. And so we think a lot of foolish stories. But in fact, the natural is a type of the spiritual. Okay, I can see figuratively your confused looks. What am I talking about? The natural is a type. I'm talking about typology. You can understand spiritual things by natural things. God made the world, so he set it up so that you can understand. Sowing and reaping, that's how it works in this world. Well, it works in the spiritual world also. And God, Jesus, often used the natural world in his parables and said, well, look at this. Notice how the mustard seed grows. Well, that's the way the kingdom is. Notice how the sparrows are. Well, I can teach you from that. So the natural world is a type of the spiritual world. The kingdom works on sowing and reaping. Basic principle. You plant it. You plant what you want. You might weed it. just like any garden. And that should be very obvious to us when we want to talk about moving our children into an economy of blessing. What are we sowing, figuratively, into our children? Are we sowing good character? Are we sowing the ability to say no to oneself? Are we sowing self-restraint? Are we sowing understanding? Are we sowing good choices? Are we sowing addiction? Are we sowing disrespect? Or are we sowing love and altruism? What you sow in your children, you will get. So children are like a garden. But children are also like an orchard, because what you sow in them over time, 20 years from now, will bear fruit. And that is also very true in the financial. Finances work very much like this. And you model for your children how to handle money. For instance, where do you invest your money? Do you throw it away or do you invest it? And when you go and quote-unquote invest your money, are you playing the market or are you making wise investments? You have to prepare. You have to choose the field. You have to choose the seed. You have to watch over it. You may have to weed it. You have to be sure that it's watered. And you can depend upon God's multiplication. And then you harvest it. So are you saving, in fact? Or are you planting the wrong kind of seed? Are you failing to say no to your children, failing to model for them? Are you, instead of saving, giving them addictive toys? In fact, David Walsh has a new book out entitled No. I'm very excited about this book, and you can click through and get it if you go to my website. And he says, and he's right, that the American household savings rate is going down at the same time the expenditure rate on addictive toys is going up. We're not saying no to our children. We're teaching them not to say no to to themselves. And 20 years later, we're coming up with young adults who are quite surprised when they're asked to do work, who do not have the self-restraint for achievement, and who become substance addicts, debt addicts, and addicted to electronically pervade whatever. We are a country, increasingly, of addicts, debt addicts, substance addicts, porn addicts, and we're afraid, increasingly, Americans are afraid of anything that smells of moral fiber. And it's no wonder that our economy is in shambles also. This is not the legacy that God would have us leave our children, debt and addiction. Rather, God would have a dream of righteousness, a legacy of righteous character and money to leave our children. And so thank goodness for men like Dave Ramsey, who's trying to teach Christians how to get out of debt. And thank goodness for some preachers typically in poorer congregations who are telling people God wants you to have a decent life in the here and now, as well as, of course, in the hereafter. And God has prepared for all of that. He wishes to save us to the uttermost. And of course, these are very controversial preachers. In fact, they are hated. Well, you know, if you look at it sociologically, you see that's in fact exactly what the working class in the United States needs to be told, that if they have some hope and some faith and some diligence and some righteousness, that they can expect a good reward in this life and to leave that for their children, something that richer people have always known, although perhaps they're forgetting it. Are they, in fact, as generous, or do they hate this very teaching because it requires generosity? Or perhaps they dislike it because they themselves know they need to be preached to be altruistic. Well, we'll leave that judgment to God. But thank God for those preachers who do have the spunk to teach people that God wants them to have a decent life here and now. And while I'm at it, talking about preachers, I would like to put to rest the myth that preachers only want money. Let's talk about Presbyterian preachers because I know they're the best. The average Presbyterian preacher has 7 or 8 years of expensive education after high school and works at a salary less than a secretary, an administrative assistant. That doesn't sound to me like somebody who only cares about money. When was the last time you went into church and were charged an entrance fee? Is that how you're treated at the country club? Do they let you just come in and use their facilities? But they do in church. What other institution in this country gives you goods and services? No charge. But, of course, teaches you how to contribute and to be a supporter of the community. And promises you a reward on that, to boot, perhaps. I don't know of one. So I don't think that the charge is well leveled against preachers that they want money. Seek first the kingdom of God. That's principle number one. Righteousness, this means seeking first the kingdom of God means you have to move in righteousness, but would also mean that you have to move in altruism. I doubt that was lost on anyone. But here's another saying that let's put to rest. Charity begins at home. Well, that is not a Bible saying. No, you invest in your children. If you're giving to your children or your relatives, you may be investing, but that's not really altruism. Altruism is giving to someone whom you don't have any natural way to expect a return from. And you should give beyond your family. You should give. You know, my father is enjoying a comfortable retirement right now. I saw my father go to night school when I was little enough to use his legs as a jungle gym. And I saw my parents participate in church. And when I was a very little girl, I was given 2 nickels every week. One was to put in my piggy bank, and one was to give in Sunday school, to give an offering in Sunday school. I did not realize that those little envelopes had numbers on them. And one year, or one season, I chose to put both nickels in my piggy bank. My father has a little talk with me that I will never forget. And I was told to put the offering nickel in the offering. And now I look back, and I can really thank the Lord for my parents' teaching that I have been able to stay out of debt. And I've always wondered why my father did as well as he did, because he never involved himself in lots of investments, nor did he work late. And now he is doing quite well in his retirement, a long retirement. Why is that? I think perhaps that God blessed Dad, because Dad did what God said to do. And you bet I have a scripture for this. Acts 10:4, the angel of the Lord is talking to Peter about Cornelius, and he said, his prayers and his alms, that means his offerings, have come up as a memorial before God. So God takes note of what people give. Righteousness always works, but God also takes note of what people give. Well, I was first willing to consider this principle of sowing and reaping in a spiritual sense only a few years ago. I had experienced quite a long time of financial hard times. I had been abundantly diligent, had sufficient IQ, plenty of college, had been thinking positively, and yet I didn't feel that I had near enough money for what I needed. And I heard somebody say on the TV, somebody I didn't like very much at all then and still don't, but he read this chapter. It's Malachi chapter 3. We'll start in verse 8. So let's read it. Will a man rob God? Yet you're robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed thee? In tithes and contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until there is no more need. Then I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it may not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. Now, normally we don't test the Lord, but in this passage it says, test the Lord in this, that if you will give your tithe, that the Lord will ensure your crops. Oh, wow. Well, there's a deal. So I was willing to take the Lord up on that, and I tried it out. That summer, I was largely disabled because of a car wreck, and I started tithing on my gross income from my consulting work. Now, it was pitifully small, but if you know the difference between gross and net in a business, you see that percentage-wise, I was tithing a lot. And even though I was making very little, I got checks in the mail for no apparent reason, and I was able to live well and wagers. So if you want a miraculous harvest, I suggest you work on the scriptures here in sowing and reaping to invest in the kingdom of God. Well, you may say, all right, so exactly how do you do that? Well, Deuteronomy 26 and 12 says, you give your tithes to the Levite, the strangers, the orphans, and the widows. And what that means to me is give to your community, to the ministry that you feed from, the Levite, okay, so your church, any other ministry, and charity, because the stranger, the widow, and the orphans would have been the poor in that day. So this is investing, once again, in the kingdom. Investing. Invest in your own life. Invest in the natural. And save and invest in good investments. Invest in an education. Invest in your children and their children's education. And be a model for your children in natural things and in spiritual things. Then you will leave a legacy to them. You will leave money to them, but more importantly, character. Invest. Now, tithes, of course, this is talking about God owns them because you're robbing God if you don't. But offerings, of course, are giving beyond that, giving out of altruism. Give so that all of the children in the world might be taken care of. Because how many of you know that even if you take care of your children, if you don't contribute to the community, they're going to live in that world. And so even in the natural mind, it makes plenty of sense to contribute to your wider community. And of course, your congregation is your first wider community. But then beyond that, the world that you live in. God has a better accounting system than we do. God remembers what you do. Your prayers and your alms, your offerings, are counted. They come up as a memorial, and God knows. So, what have I said? Here we go. Seek first the kingdom. Align yourself with what is righteous and do things the way that God does them. Sow good seed. Expect a legacy. This is good news. This doesn't say that you have to be poor forever. Take no thought is a mistranslation, and the one I read is better. Don't be anxious, because you have to have a storehouse if God is going to bless your storehouse. Another scripture. Well, what kind of storehouse do we have? We don't all have barns today. Be great if we had some barns, but our storehouse is our bank account. And by the way, you might want to be sure your bank is solvent. But expect a legacy. And this is just as true in the natural as it is in the spiritual. So I recommend also that you invest in the kingdom and expect a return from God. You can see where your seed is planted in the natural garden. You can see where your money is invested in a financial institution. You may not see what happens, although you can inquire, be sure the ministry is a responsible one. But God nevertheless will give you a return. And so I encourage you to invest in the kingdom. Invest in your children and invest in all the children of the world. And so we're sowing into you. And you've heard about this if you've listened to us. We have a couple of free offers that we wish to give to you, as this is about giving. So we have two booklets. We can send them to you via email. One is called Claiming Great Shalom, A Parent's Month of Prayers. And so we would be happy to send them to this book to anyone who would like to ask for it via email, and then we'll send it right back via email. And the other one is 20 Blessings for Teachers. And if you're not a teacher, this is a suitable gift for your child's teacher or any teacher you know. And once again, just email me, and I will email it back to you in PDF format, and so it will be entirely safe. And of course, we will be happy to receive any donations. Partner with us, as we have to pay for airtime like anyone else. So we will be happy to have partners. We're particularly happy to have partners who would partner with us for a long time. So let me pray for you now. Heavenly Father, I bless my listeners now. I bless them with great shalom for them and for their children. And we call crop failure on all of the negative seed. Help us to remember to plant the Word of God, to plant righteousness before their eyes. Lord, we ask you for wisdom for when we don't know, and we ask you for reminding when we do know. And we pray for these families that they will be blessed as they are following Abraham in faith. Faith. And in Jesus, who is the seed of Abraham. We pray blessings on these families. And we thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, please do check us up on the website, www.greatshalom.org. www.greatshalom.org. And of course, you can write us at P.O. Box 971 Cedar Park, Texas 78630. P.O. Box 971 Cedar Park, Texas 78630. And remember, God wants total well-being for all children.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to thegreatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org. Join Sharon Sarles again next